Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of the WC Radio Network.
WCRA, changing the world you listen to.
Hello, everyone. My name is Gray. This is my host, my co-host, Draco.
Hello. What's going on?
And together we make the sensational website crew people behind the screen. No, wrong one. The Cinephile. No.
Will you get it right?
I think those are all the shows. What was the last one? I can't ever remember it.
I believe you're the one you are looking for, sir, is Behind the Screen's radio show.
Behind the Screen radio show. You're right. You're right. That's what I am. All right. So we are behind. we are the Gamers Paradise radio show, where we talk about video games and not movies and not music or any of the other forms of media. And that's what we do. So if you don't play video games, then I don't know why you are here. Unless you want to play video games, then that makes sense. But that is what we do. We play video games. We play video games so much that we wanted to turn it into a profession. So, that is, I'm Gray, that's Draco.
Yeah.
Anything you want to
and
add?
That's how we roll.
Anything you want to add to that?
I'm good for now, sir.
All right. So how's your week been, Draco?
My week has been phenomenally fantastic, exhausting, and such.
Sounds like a normal week.
Yes. As you know, I'm filming a horror short film. And we have been working diligently on it.
Since it's horror, I'm going to guess there's a lot of late nights.
Not particularly late nights. It's just we start early in the morning. We film till about 6 or so. And it has been an exhausting time.
So does it have to do with it's where you work, right? Is doing the little short film?
No. I work for the escape room. I work for Noda Escapes in Charlotte, North Carolina. And they started filming there, and that's how I got in on the whole filming aspect.
So someone is filming at your escape room, but not for your escape room itself.
Exactly.
Yeah. That still sounds fun. You get to do a little bit of movie action or short film action.
Oh, it's fun.
There we go. Well, that's great. I thought you were going to add more, so it went very silent.
I've got a whole lot. You know, like I say, with having this phone, I have to answer every call.
No. Got to answer every call. Because you're so popular, getting calls every 5 seconds.
No, our escape room is kind of popular-ish.
Yeah. I don't work at an escape room, so I wouldn't know. But I bet it is. Escape rooms are coming in now. Escape rooms are that new. It's the new thing. It's like video games in real life. You know, for a couple of years it was VR, and now it's escape rooms.
Yeah, they're fun to work with.
Does it mess up your mind a little bit whenever you get to see the behind the scenes of it? Because, you know, then you get doesn't spoil it at all?
No. It's actually pretty fun.
Yeah. Do you get to scare people? Do you ever get to, is there anything that you get to manually do?
No, we don't have any live actors in ours right now.
So, well, like, do you get to manually do any of the electronics, though?
Yes, yeah, we have to, a lot of them.
Hmm.
A lot of them are manual, so it's kind of easy.
Ah. That sounds fun, because, like, if somebody was to do it a couple times, you can just change the timing on it.
Well, indeed.
You know, somebody's like, and the clown's going to pop out right now. Oh. That's amazing.
What clown are you talking?
Isn't yours a horror theme, right?
No, we don't have a horror theme right now.
No, oh, okay. Which ones? I don't remember which ones yours are. I watch a lot of escape room things, so.
No, ours has a Jurassic Bone.
Okay.
It has a Diamond Heist, and we just put it in Interrogation.
The Interrogation one sounds like fun. That would be the one that I would do.
You get blindfolded, you get handcuffed.
That's pretty awesome.
And you got to escape being interrogated.
Well, okay, so, like, is the cleanup and or, like, resetting of it hard? Like, is there anything you got to put back in place or anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
Is it ever...
It's not... Most of the resets only take about 10 minutes when you put in to put everything back to where it was. It depends on how rough people were. Like, sometimes we have to repair items that may have been broken.
Oh, wow.
And people get rough when it comes down to it.
From, like, fear, or do they just get rough because they think they can cheat it or something?
Oh, it's not really, I wouldn't call it fear. There's really not a lot of fear in escape rooms unless your escape room is strictly haunted based.
I don't know, I get pretty stressed out. Like, if I'm not going to finish it, that gets me pretty stressed and, like, fearful, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not really, like, afraid.
Yeah.
Have you ever had to repair something very... expensive, like somebody's just like, oh, look at this lamp, and they just knock it over or something?
Oh, yeah. The most expensive items we've had to replace are, like, our keypads, where they wear off a lot.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Actually, wait, I take that back. We have a sensor. We have a small sensor that costs $800.
Yeah.
And it has been broken 4 times.
How does it get broken?
Where the sensor is at, there's a you have to put something into it that sets the sensor off.
Yeah.
But people go in with, like, smaller items and just drop them.
Hmm.
And it breaks the sensor.
Dang.
And it really, really, really sucks.
Well, that was our week See, we only take 10 minutes, whereas they take like 30. You know, they always have to talk about political stuff and different kinds of things. But we talk about video games. Video games are fun.
Yeah. Always fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we should probably discuss what we're doing this week. Which is top-down strategy games. You know, the strategy games where you are able to see from the top to the down. You know,
from the top to the down, huh?
From the top. Yeah. You're looking down from the top, and you have to strategize. You have to make sure that everything's going. Some of them are resource management. Some of them are attacking and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about this week.
Most of them are resource management and whatnot.
Yeah. Some of them are a bit more resource oriental than the others, though.
Right.
And some of them are a bit slower.
I'm not a huge fan of the top down ones because most of them I've played are on mobile phone, of course.
Oh, well, those ones are always bad. Our first recommendation from the show, don't get the mobile top-down games.
Unless you want something just bad altogether.
Yeah, yeah. Because mobile top-down games are usually not very good. I don't have many. I haven't played many that are good.
Right.
But if you're looking for a good top-down strategy game, there are good console ones. There are some good console ones. What's one that you've played? What's your favorite one? We'll start with the favorite ones from us.
My favorite one that I have ever played, I played it for like a year straight, and it was Kingdoms of Camelot. Started out as a Facebook game. Met some great people, and
I don't think I've ever heard of it, but I think I probably have seen it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it sounds familiar in some ways, but I don't think I've never played it. At least.
It was great until they started doing until people actually. You know how they mod games?
Yeah.
And they started doing that, and it became unplayable because I didn't know how to do that.
Oh, so it's one of those more online top-down strategy games where it's like you're fighting with other people in factions.
Yeah.
See, I've played a lot of those on the mobile games. I get bored of them fast, but they're fun at first.
That's pretty much how I deal with the top downs. It's fun at first. Like, I played Final Fantasy XV's version of the top down strategy.
Yeah.
And I really just played it and liked it for a little bit and stopped.
I've only played, I would say that I've only played two top down games that have ever been good and have ever been my favorites. There are some that kind of crossed that line, but they weren't good enough for me to remember them while thinking about this show. So,
right.
So the first one that I'll talk about right now is my favorite one, which I didn't think about until we started talking about this show. It's been a little bit because it's strictly mostly computer. And I haven't had a computer with games on it in a long time. But it is Command and Conquer.
I remember that one.
And this is my favorite top down strategy game. I do have one other, but I'll talk about it later because it's not as good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But yeah, Command & Conquer is one of those ones where, especially since it's on computer, they did it right the first time by not putting it on mobile first.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because it was made around the time that smartphones weren't even really a thing. But, you know, it was made on the computer first, and these are real-time, top-down strategy games where you kind of have to... It's a bit resource management, but I'd say it's more you're trying not to die type of command or top-down. Because eventually you get to the point to where resources are easy for you.
Right.
In Command & Conquer. But, like, you're constantly getting attacked in this one. It's not like the other teams build up their teams. You're just constantly getting attacked.
Kind of like the, what's that one, Clash of Clans, in a way?
Yeah, Clash of Clans is another weird one. I don't know. Is Clash of Clans even a top-down strategy? It's more just like a top-down, I want to play.
I did not get into it, so I can't give an opinion either way.
I wouldn't say it's a top-down strategy. I'm gonna have to exclude any mobile games at this point because they're kind of like their own thing anyway.
You cannot.
Yeah, I can.
Because that's pretty much what most top-down strategy is on now.
Yeah, but they're not, it's never anything that's actually the source of what top-down strategy games should be. Yeah.
Well, I have the ultimate top-down strategy game for you.
Okay.
Chess.
It's very true, but I'd have to argue with checkers.
I'm sorry. Chess takes more strategy than checkers?
Checkers has strategy, and it's fun, quick, and you can do, like, you know, a couple rounds of it. Chess takes a while if you're good at it, and then, you know, if you lose, it's like, I don't want to spend another hour sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
Where checkers, it's like, you know, bam, 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 somebody wins, somebody loses.
Right.
So that's why I like checkers. I can't play chess, but I like checkers for its fast-pacedness. Do you know what's another one of those?
Checkers.
Cool.
If you say backgammon, you'll be my friend forever. But pool is fun.
Backgammon's good too. I haven't played it in so long that I actually forgot the rules, but I used to a lot.
Basically, every piece has to go around to the one side, your home side of the board, and then you start taking it off to put them in the home base, and whoever gets all of their pieces off the board wins. Excuse me.
Ooh. Yeah, backgammon was always fun, but pool is fun too.
Pool is fun if you're good at geometry. Nah, I kid. You can not be good at geometry, but still like to play pool.
But geometry though? You mean like trajectory?
You have to create angles and shit, the right angle.
I believe that's trigonometry.
It doesn't matter. It's all geometric shapes to me. Shit.
Let me see. Yeah, trigonometry is looking better. It's at least triangles. Gotta know geometry. You gotta know how a circle is not a square. You gotta know YX and 2.
That's just too much for me.
And you gotta know that the X squared minus the X 1 and the Y squared minus the Y 1, and then you divide the top from the bottom and you get the midpoint.
Bride. That's too.
But now you know how to play pool. You got all eight and win one go. Yeah. I don't know. Those are the only ones that I'll accept on mobile, but that's only because they're real games as well. They're not made for mobile.
Right.
Most of them are Clash of Clans copycats. Most of them are almost exactly like Clash of Clans. Because that was kind of like the first one that got popular.
Yeah.
You know, Clash Royale, Clash of Clans, all these other little ones. They're mostly all the same. Some of them are different, and I get that. But they're all just mobile games, mobile strategy games.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of the time, they don't really take strategy. Just whoever has more stuff wins.
So, what are some console top-down strategy games, if there are any?
Ooh. Well, one of the biggest ones on console, I would say, is XCOM. That's for computer and console.
I remember seeing XCOM. Never played it.
I didn't either. That was one of those ones where it was before my time. XCOM 1 was before my time, and then XCOM 2 didn't interest me. So I never actually played it.
Yeah.
But XCOM it's kind of the same thing as, you know, it's a more people type of top-down strategy, unlike Command & Conquer, where you use a lot of vehicles, you use a lot of buildings, whereas XCOM is kind of, you control people to get to a goal.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it would probably interest a lot of people, but I never played it. Especially XCOM 2, because the original XCOM is quite old now. And it's like, I think it's XCOM 1 either has, like, I would say, like, 16-bit graphics. Like, it's not great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, XCOM 2 doesn't look too bad, especially now that it's, you know, bigger and all that. Bigger and better and more. Yeah, but, I mean, it's on PlayStation 4 if you want to look at it. I know I won't.
Well, I'm at that point where I can't buy a damn thing right now. So buying games is off the charts for me.
I'm at that point where I feel like I'm able to buy games, and then I remember how expensive games are to buy. You know,
who are you telling?
I'm getting at that point where, like, I'm able to, like, look at games and be like, oh yeah. I'm at a teenage age where I'm starting to gain the monies. Let me see if I can buy a game. I can buy half
what
a game.
Gain the money, you speak.
I'm at the age where I'm starting to gain the monies. You know, you don't gain monies at 10 years old.
See, when you get my age, it's no longer payday. It's exchange day, where it goes to your bank, but you're just the routing for the other people.
Well, I know that, but, like, I still don't, like, get enough to where it's like, oh, you know, there's a video game, I can buy half a video game. Video games are just expensive now.
Yeah.
Video games, I mean, Walmart has, like, this set price now where any new video game that comes out is $60. It's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you make one purchase for an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4, and that's like a good $300-$400. And it's like, yeah, this one thing is going to set me for a long time in life. But then you get a video game, and it's like $60. That's like a quarter of that. I'm only getting one of you.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. It kind of gets annoying when you don't have the money to do what you love to do, though.
Gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I don't know if it's because of the rise of gaming since the, you know, whenever people thought, oh, you're a gamer, you're a nerd, you're a geek. Like, since the rise of that, gaming has almost become as expensive as any other hobby, where it's like, you want to be an artist? That's great. You can buy finger paints. And it's like $6, but you want to get into it, that's going to be like $200.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with gaming, where it's like, you want to buy like a really old DS, start off, that's fine. $6 a game, you know, DSs, go to a pawn shop, get like a $10 DS, great, everything's good. You want to get into it, $500.
Oh, yeah. And
so,
don't expect to pay any less than $500 for all you need.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. Especially if like you're going off to your own place, because then you have to buy the TV, you got to buy the Xbox, you got to play PlayStation, you got to buy the Switch, whatever you're getting, and then you also have to get whatever games you think you'll like.
Mm-hmm.
The only disappointing part is if you go to a place where you cannot exchange a game. So you buy something, you think it's going to be really good, and it's a flop, and you can't do anything with that $60 now?
That's the only thing that scares me about all these new games. You know, I love them, and I'm glad I got a place where I can go rent.
Oh, yeah.
But when you don't know how a game is, but you want to play it, and you don't have a place to rent, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those weird things where people get a bit too afraid of trying new things. Like, you know, oh, well, you put a little money into this, didn't work. All right, well, we'll just stop it. It's fine. But also at the same time, that happens a lot with video games because people promise a lot in video games that they do not deliver.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Look at us talking about crap, that's not the video game genre. We're starting to sound like behind the screen.
Yeah.
So, did you have any top-down strategy games whenever you were a child or teenager or whatever? Anyone that appealed to you?
I don't know if you wanted to get into this one later, but my biggest, I dare say even before Kingdoms of Camelot, there was StarCraft.
Ooh. I've heard a bit about that.
Go ahead.
No, keep going.
I haven't played StarCraft 2, but I have, in fact, played the first one. I played it a lot.
Yeah.
And it held my attention longer than any other top-down strategy game can.
Hmm. Now, looking at the StarCraft games, this is not the type of top-down strategy that I would play, but it does look interesting.
I don't knock it till you try it. That's all I'm going to tell you. Don't knock it till you try it.
I do like these types of strategy games, though. They appeal more to gamers because they actually have, like, strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're top-down strategy games, even though not a lot of them are good, the ones that are kind of go back to whenever gaming was more complicated. Like, you know, in World of Warcraft or in Final Fantasy, where it took a long time for you to defeat some things. It took a long time to accomplish things.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same with most top-down strategy games, even newer ones, because it's kind of like you can't really get rid of that whenever it comes to these games. You know, so
if I could get rid of anything, it's the whole pay-to-win thing they have going on with pretty much every top-down strategy game.
Yeah, but that usually happens with a lot of games. It's just what it is now.
I mean, I wouldn't even call like Call of Duty pay-to-win. I mean, they have their microtransactions, but nothing you buy is going to help your skill.
No. Thing is, top-down strategy games are allowed to do that because most of them are single-player, though. So, affecting your skill won't do anything to upset other people.
Right.
So they're kind of allowed to go, well, other people are doing pay to play. What if we did it to where people are better? That'll get us more money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But like, if Call of Duty did that, they would get a lot of refunds. They would get a lot of backlash. That would be like, you know, use $20 to buy this new gun. It wrecks people in one bullet. It has a spread. It has a spread. Takes down three people, one bullet.
That is the worst type of paying to win.
Oh yeah, that would be crazy if they did that in Call of Duty. Because you know that all the people that really want to play that game, they spend that $20 the day it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I would be upset if they did something like that. I think it's good that even though they do these new strategies of getting more money and getting more publicity, there are still lines that they won't cross.
Yeah.
You know, at least they have some type of moral compass. It's probably mostly because they know they'll get backlash and then lose money, but still.
Mm-hmm.
A motivated moral compass is still a moral compass. Top down grabby games.
This is a tough one for me. Because all I can think of are the mobile games.
Well, are there any good ones? Like, are there any ones that aren't Clash of Clans? You know what I mean?
Not that I have played.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of them are definitely very similar. Here's one of the biggest ones that I didn't even think of.
What's that?
And it's coming on quite a few games now. Civilization? Yeah, Civilization, I believe, would be like the biggest top-down strategy game that I could think of.
I think I've only played one of theirs, though. And it was more cartoony than anything else.
Well, some of them are a bit cartoony, but the new ones, at least Civ 5 and Civ 6, are more on the, you know, world domination type thing. Like, what's that board game called? War? Or
Risk?
Risk, yeah. It's a lot like that, where you have to adapt and grow your armies and grow your peace treaties and grow morale and all that, all to be able to be the best country.
But I don't know if that's Risk. Risk is pretty much just it started as a board game, and you get certain amount of armies to spread out across the world, and you pretty much try to take over the world. It'd be right up Pinky in the Brain's alley.
It's sort of like that. It's the only board game I could compare it to. But it's sort of like that where you're still trying to take over the world, but there's just multiple ways of doing it. You can either do it through peace, do it through war. But basically your end goal is to win over the world in some way.
I didn't even know Warhammer was considered top-down strategy.
Well, the video games are top-down, I think, is the only reason. And then Warhammer has always been a strategy game.
Even the tabletop, right? Tabletop.
Tabletop is definitely strategy, but I mean that's technically only top down because you're looking at a board, so you're looking down. But like, yeah, Warhammer is a very hard strategy game. It's like D&D, but minus a lot of the role playing and like steroiding it up with strategy.
Yeah.
You know, and Warhammer is one of those things where like D&D, it can be either, you know, it can be fantasy, it can be futuristic, it can be modern. That's the cool thing about it, at least.
Right.
It's one of those ones that I can't get into, though. It's a bit too, I don't know, it's a bit too one goal for me. Like, you're always trying to achieve the same thing, you're just trying to kill people and win, type of thing. Whereas a lot of things have different ways of winning, different ways of going about things. Warhammer's one of those ones where, of course, you still have strategy, but you're always kind of doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Civilization has gotten so expansive now too. If you play Civilization as one nation and you bunker down somewhere, you start somewhere, it can be a long time in the game before you even see some of the other people.
Right.
That's kind of the cool thing about it, where it's like, you guys, they might not even see each other. There's some, I believe you can add in AI players as well. So sometimes you might even not even see your friends while you're playing. You might only see the AI.
Right. It is 6:36, sir.
It is 6:36. Look at that. 6:36. You wanted to go to break?
Let's do that. Let's take a little break, come back, give them something to listen to instead of our somber tones.
We're pretty somber people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we will be back in anywhere from a while to a couple minutes. But until then, we have the two beautiful songs and creators, Chad Bearden, Someone I Can't Forget, and Less Love If You.
Got a picture of a pretty girl on my phone, making out with some guy looking just like me. Must have passed out on the couch when I got back home. Woke up with 7 digits under my sleeve. It's all just a little bit hazy. I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget. Like a song I don't know that I can't get out of my head. Can't seem to shake the taste of that tipsy whiskey kiss. I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget. Thought I was dancing with a long-legged brunette. It's hard to tell in the neon glow. Didn't catch your name shouting through the music. It didn't matter when she leaned in close. I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget. Like a song I don't know that I can't get out of my head. Can't seem to shake the taste of that tipsy whiskey kiss. I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget. Kimberly and Natalie, buy me a drink. I don't know. I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget. Like a song I don't know that I can't get out of my head. Can't seem to shake the taste of that tipsy whiskey kiss. I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget. Forget someone I can't forget.
say you're tired of talking. It's not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave, and these will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost, and I ain't too proud. If you loved me, you would hold me and never let me go. If you loved me, you would tell me you never want me to be alone. If you cared at all, you would stop and never go. But you just turned your back to me and said, guess I'd
of the show have been used. This week we are the Gamers Paradise, and we are talking about top-down strategy games. I am Gray, and my co-host here is Draco,
otherwise known as Crunch and Munch.
Yes, Crunch and Munch.
The
number, if you would like to call in, and that is only if you would like to call in, we do not force you to. But you can. That number is 718.
Break your arm if you don't.
That number is 718-664-9735. Again, that number is 718-664-9735. Call in anytime
you
would like.
718-664-9735.
That is the correct number that I'm looking at on a screen here, yes?
Holy balls.
You got it right. Also, we have a Facebook page, the Gamers Paradise Radio Show. just look that up and you'll find it. We'll be the first one on the little Facebook area. That we use our, we don't use our Facebook for anything very personal, but we do. You can keep up with the shows there, and those will give you the links if you want to listen to earlier shows, and it will also put up the links for the shows that will be coming up. So, Draco also has a little thing that he needs to talk about with his gaming area.
You don't talk about my gaming area like that.
That's why I'm letting you talk about it.
Oh, yes, I do run Twitch streams every now and then. I haven't been on it too often because of, you know, life kind of gets in the way every once in a while. But you can catch me on twitch.tv/alllostlogic. AllLostLogic.
You did that on purpose, didn't you?
Yes.
You did something for it to rhyme. Give it a little ringtone.
I mean, it depends on what you call rhyming, but I didn't hear any rhymes in it.
I heard it somewhere, but I don't remember how to spell, so it's fine.
I won't judge you.
Yeah. Okay. So,
secretly,
the show we're talking about this week is Top Down Strategy Games, but we talked about all the main ones and then got a bit bored with it because, you know, nobody plays Top Down Strategies. Nobody plays these types of games no more. The people that play these types of games are the types of people that are already nerds. But yeah, if you play them, mean no offense, you're a nerd.
What you call me?
I got you a nerd.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. So one of the things that we thought would be a great idea is to figure out some movie or TV shows or video games that are already video games and make them into a console or computer top-down strategy game. You know, think about it for a second. This could be the thing. This could be the thing of the ages if people pay attention to us.
Right.
Did you have any in mind whenever we pitched this idea?
I mean, the only ones I have in mind are already pretty much top-down strategy games like Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah. You ever play any of the Lord of the Rings video games? Any Lord of the Rings-esque video games?
Not that I want to admit.
I don't even know what that means.
As far as, like, any of the Lord of the Rings games are concerned, they all kind of were terrible.
Well, okay, so I played Lord of the Rings-esque as well. So, like, I played Middle-Earth War of the North or whatever it's called, which is like a party system game where you have, like, three or four people, I think.
Right.
And you're fighting through obstacles, kind of like a normal RPG. And then I also played both the Shadow games, so Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War.
Yeah.
Which were both very phenomenal games. They did not disappoint me in any way.
I don't know. It's just one of those things. I stare at a game on a shelf and like, meh. Maybe one day, if I'm bored enough, I'll pick it up.
Well, the same thing between like Watch Dogs and the Shadow games is if you were to get one of them, you should get Watch Dogs 2 and Shadow of War, because Shadow of Mordor and Watch Dogs 1 are both great games, but the second version of them is not a completely different game. It's just the same game, but way better.
More better.
Yeah, so at this point, there's no point in getting the first games unless you want the story from them, because the second games are very much better.
Right. Huh.
You know, in Shadow of Mordor 1, you were able to, you know, summon, you were able to control some of the orcs, some of the Uruk-hai, I mean, the better ones. You were able to control the Uruk-hai, and you were able to for them to do your bidding and stuff. But it was kind of sloppy how the system worked for it. And they didn't have very good personalities. But then in Shadow of War, they gave each one their own individual personality. They gave them completely way more lines, and they gave you more stuff to do with the minions you just created.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. And even though the DLCs became like a pay to play, where you needed to buy each DLC separately, the DLCs were actually quite good.
Right.
So yeah, I would love
to
see that.
Maybe one of those I'd have to check out.
Yeah. That would be a strategy game for me though.
Uh-huh.
Or no, a top down strategy. That'd be cool. But yeah, besides Lord of the Rings, like what else would you want to, is there, so what I'm thinking of like as a top down strategy that would be amazing is the TV shows that people, like real life TV shows. So one team can be like the Friends TV show, and then one team can be How I Met Your Mother. And you're constantly churning out those actors to defend your base.
Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
And then what's another show that kind of went along Big Bang Theory line? Big Bang Theory and Saved by the Bell.
that would be a good one. Oh wow! So like you have all these teams facing off. That'd be amazing.
I mean, they're not exactly teens on Big Bang Theory anyway.
Yeah, but in this game, they have to work together for the fate of the world.
Black noise is trash.
So I think my favorite idea so far in my head is a YouTube top-down strategy game. Where you have to pick a YouTuber as your leader, and he starts creating stuff that has the personality wise of him or her. And,
right.
And your resources that you have for the resource management part are likes, subscriptions, and bell notifications.
Why the hell does that sound like something I've seen already?
Well, there's a couple games that go off of that, but aren't top-down strategy games. They're just, like, games where you play and it's YouTube-esque.
For some reason, I was thinking of that Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet.
That was a good movie. Let's talk about movies now.
Nah, that's what... Just... It put me on that mindset. That's all it was.
Yeah. But I think that would actually be, like... It'd be oddly fun just because you get to play cool YouTubers and each one would have a really cool personality-wise thing, but it would have to be made by, like, a really good video game company. Like, even if it's a little crap, it'd probably be very crap.
Right.
So you'd have to have, like, a video game company that could make it nearly perfect.
Yeah. And very few could do that.
Very few could do it. I think Bungie could do it. I don't think 343 could.
Maybe.
It's weird, too, because the next one I wanted to get into that we didn't actually talk about much was Halo Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of talking about Halo Wars, I would like to talk about how Halo Wars kind of ruined itself somehow, And I don't even, I'm going to be honest, I don't even know how it happened. And I'll explain in a second. I'm just trying to look them both up. So.
By taking up the Halo name?
Well, okay, so Halo, the original Halo Wars game was developed by Bungie and Ensemble Studios and Robot Entertainment. That's who they were developed by, right?
Right.
Well, Bungie's obviously off the Halo thing. So 343 took it into their hands that they wanted to make a Halo Wars 2. Well, 343 Industries, of course, can be a developer. They're part of the Halo realm now. But they didn't even use any of the original other developers for the game. They used Creative Assembly. So it was 343 and Creative Assembly on this new one. And I tried to play it. I loved Halo Wars. Like, I seriously loved Halo Wars. I played the campaign maybe 5 times over. I played the free play area a lot. But I tried to play Halo Wars 2, and I didn't even make it through the campaign.
Damn.
So, I think 343 is just on a losing streak right now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Halo Wars is completely different than Halo, and it was still somehow messed up.
I don't see Halo as a top. I don't know how I would be able to see Halo as a top-down strategy game.
Well, Halo Wars, at least the first one, was actually really great. Like, it was a top-down strategy game, and it was all Halo-based, and it went a bit into the deeper lore so they could have more characters in it that weren't Master Chief, and it was actually really good.
Yeah.
You know, you got. They've now immortalized some heroes that you may not even have heard of. So you have, Sergeant something. I don't remember a lot of their names. But then you also have Captain Cutter. And then you have Delta Team and Alpha Team, who are both, like, I think you only play as Delta Team, but Delta Team and Alpha Team were both in it. And that's kind of like, those are now Spartans that people remember because of Halo Wars, instead of just Master Chief or the people he interacts with.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, and the Halo Wars 1 actually had, like, a really great story, too. Like, I loved just watching the cutscenes because I really enjoyed the story of it.
Right.
Halo Wars 2 did not do that for me.
Halo doesn't do it for me like it used to anymore.
Well, most of the Halo stuff you on your side don't really have to worry about because of, like, PlayStation. So all this, like, oh, 343 is breaking everything. It's like you're over here on your PlayStation, like, well, I still got my Final Fantasy.
You're damn right. And that's how it should always be.
Yeah, I tried playing Halo 4 and 5. And they just, like, immediately, because I play Forge before I usually play the campaign, just to get a feel for it. I do that with almost every Halo. I did that with Reach. Reach is by far my favorite Halo game. It was a very polished, It was a very good game. It was also the last one by Bungie. But it was a very polished and very beautiful game. But I was playing Reach for a while, just to get back into Halo, and then I was like, yeah, I can do this. Let me play some Halo 4. I get into the Forge, and I'm almost immediately disappointed with so many things. It's just, it's almost like a completely different game, but not as good either.
Hmm.
The only reason I was impressed with anything was that they were bringing in these new vehicles and this new lore, but they didn't have, like, a good story or a good gameplay to back it up.
Yeah. New vehicles. I'm so used to that. Warthog and Banshee, those would be the only ones.
Yeah, my personal favorite is the Warthog, just because it's not too fast, not too slow, and it maneuvers really well.
Yeah.
And in Halo 1 and 2, those are like the vehicles anyway. Like, those are the vehicles you probably drive the most.
Hmm. I was a big fan of the Banshee. That's how I am with all planes and vehicles.
I don't know. I like a lot of the alien tech, but I like UNSC flying vehicles usually more. Just because, like, for the longest time, Banshees were really good. But then I got back into, like, Halo 3, and I realized Hornets are not only overpowered, but they're a lot better than Banshees.
Right.
And whenever you go to some of the earlier games, Banshees were kind of like the only flying vehicles. Like, you didn't really have a flying vehicle for UNSC that you could fly. So, I guess,
nah.
I don't know, maybe Bungie was like, you know, UNSC finally needs a vehicle, so why not make it better? And the Hornet, playing Halo 3 was like an eye-opener, because I never realized it whenever I was younger. But the Hornet is really overpowered compared to any other vehicle. Because you get machine guns, you get rockets, you can get two people on each side that also fire machine guns. It's very fast, and it can take down tanks, Banshees, and any other vehicle.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't know nothing about it. All I had when I played was Banshees and Warthogs.
Mm.
That's it.
Well, I'm always really interested in the science behind video games. So, like, I always like to boil things down to a science. So I tested it. I tested the Hornet against almost every other vehicle. How many times it could take down that vehicle before that vehicle took it down, and it was pretty shocking.
Yeah.
Like, even that stupid missile pod thing that would take down anything else, and it, you know, the tracking missiles and all that. It was like the rocket launcher on steroids. Well, even that couldn't take down the Hornet most of the time. Most of the time, you could actually dodge it. The only time the missile pods would hit is if you're not paying attention. But if you're paying attention, you can dodge them quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
But with any other vehicle, like a land vehicle, that doesn't happen. If you're locked on by a missile pod, it's either something is going to block the way, or the vehicle is going to die. So, it's a little bit of Halo science for you.
That was all Greek to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the sciences in games. Does it make me a better player? I don't know. Does it make me be able to talk about things? Yes. Do I run a radio show where I need to talk about things? Yes.
I do think that you have a future in, like, the Final Fantasy MMO world.
I'm not really good
at all science and stats.
Yeah, I'm not really good whenever it comes to video game numbers as much as, like, remembering things that you can do instead. But I do like min-maxing things. I like being like, oh, well, this is better with this only whenever you do this, and I do that the most. Well, let me try that.
Exactly.
That's kind of where I am at. So. Yeah, I never really pay attention to the numbers because then they start getting confusing. So I literally just look at, this is better with this. Okay, I'll get the better.
I will do this.
Yes. I do a lot of like that video game testing and science and stuff. I do it a lot with Minecraft and things like that. Some games where you can do more free roam testing and more creative testing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas other games are kind of closed off of what they can do. Minecraft's one of those games where you test things, and every update you have to retest a lot of them. Because they might fix it, they might change it, or they might delete it.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
Mm-hmm. But it's the fun part, because it gives you a chance to redo it all again. Almost like a reorganization. a Minecraft top-down strategy game would be amazing. They're coming out with an RPG. Let's get a top-down strategy game now.
Nah.
Yeah, let's get both going.
Eh.
Well, if they're calling the Minecraft one Minecraft Dungeons, then the top-down strategy should be called Minecraft Conquered. Bam. Just made a new game.
Minecraft Button Measure.
Microsoft, at me.
I'm not even going to ask what the hell that was.
What?
At me.
Like on Twitter and crap, whatever it's called. Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you can at people on, I don't know. I don't even know what they use as like a platform. I would assume Twitter.
I don't do all this lingo stuff.
It's one of those things where it's like, for me, it's not the fact that I learn it. It's the fact that I'm born into it.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
You know, it's just like if you're born if I was to be born in France, but my family is English, I'm most likely going to be better at English than French. Just because one is like there and one is taught.
You doubt yourself.
What am I doubting myself for? I'm not actually born in France. All right.
You were actually born in France.
I feel like you're slowly getting drunk over there. Just as the night goes on, or as the day goes on. It's like a sleep drunk. Exhaustion drunk.
If you only knew.
What is in those things you're eating?
Cool Ranch Doritos.
Alright, it makes it weirder to hear the noise now that I know what it is.
You don't like Cool Ranch Doritos?
No, I was just fine imagining like it was Fruit Loops or something. Just like, who's that loud with Cool Ranch Doritos?
My fat ass.
All right, with that, I think it's about time for us to go to break. Okay. We're going to go to break for however long this is. And then we'll be back just trying to find some good songs for all the people.
At the bro.
All right, we'll be back in some amount of time. We'll see you after. Stay with us.
At me, bro.
Two minutes.
WCRA, changing the world you listen to.
Hello, 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 everyone.
What?
My name is unknown. My name is Gray, and this is my co-host, Draco.
There is no proof.
We are now on our second break of the show, the second and final break. We have been discussing a little bit of top-down strategy games. We've also been discussing a little bit of just everything, just because that's kind of what we do. We're very podcasty. Sue us. But
we're breaking away from the norms here.
If you would like to join the chaos, then you can call in. You can. At 718.
What is that number?
664. Say it right now. Sure. 718-664-9735. What was that number again, since you so rudely interrupted?
Didn't you say it was 718-664-9735?
That is correct. You are the big winner. Your prize is knowing about our Facebook page as well. And only you.
Yay! I want that page. What is that page name?
That's the Gamers Paradise Radio Show on Facebook, the first one that pops up.
On the Book of Faces.
Yeah. The Book of Faces. That sounds like a really, really dark magic item right there. I'm going to look up the Book of Faces right now. You talk about your
the Book of Faces with 12 charges.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm going to look that up, and you talk about your
thing with the thing and the thing?
Yeah, you look, talk about your thing, yeah.
I have no idea what thing he's talking about. Twitch. But you can Twitch me on find me on Twitch. All Lost Logic. twitch.tv/ALLOGICL. Lost. Yeah, I screwed that all up. ALLOSTLOGIC. I see what you did there. Ah, I get it now.
Yeah, I told you there was a rhyme.
Or you can add me on PlayStation. ALLOGOST. Excuse me. ALLOSTLOGIC. Try to say that like 20 times fast.
Well, I couldn't find anything dark, but I did find a horror short film on IMDb called The Book of Faces.
Nah, that's not the one I'm working on, though.
Working on?
The horror short film I am working on is called By Day's End.
Ooh. Sounds like an interesting one.
Yeah. It should be interesting. We've put a lot of work in, and we still got a lot more to go.
The only By Day's End I could find was on IMDb anyway, is a horror romance that came out in 2018.
Nah, you won't be able to find it on IMDb because it ain't really been finished yet, and you will be able to find it on Facebook.
Ooh. Is there places of purchase where you might be able to see this as soon as it comes out?
I will let everyone know when it comes out to have a look at it. So you can see
awesome.
Draco in action. Yes, I had a speaking line and another part.
And he spoke just like this.
I played one of the killer's goons.
Well, that's fun.
And I also played a guy named Jimmy, who is
amazing.
A truck driver.
Hey, no spoilers now. It could have been a normal driver.
Nah, he was a delivery driver.
Even more spoilers, a truck delivery car driver. No!
Jimmy was a race car driver.
Crap!
See what I did there? You might not even know that song, so yeah.
You're showing your age, Draco.
Hey, don't judge me.
All right, well, we last left off talking about things that we would love to turn into a top-down strategy game. Nothing new, and we also just talked about a lot of video games and video game politics, because video game politics is a very, very real thing.
Yeah. Politics.
People who aren't gamers want to understand, mostly because they think video games already is a waste of time. But people that do play video games knows that video games politics almost defines each decade as it goes along.
Yeah.
You know, just like the Fortnite thing, the Battle Royale thing, the pay-to-play, all of these things has affected all gaming right as it started, just like any normal politics.
Yeah, and politics suck.
Yep, just like video game politics suck. All politics
and
suck.
Putting politics in video games suck.
Unless it's like a really cool story-driven thing.
Like Detroit. I loved Detroit, even though it was like, it was pretty much what we're dealing with today as far as people trying to belong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And there's quite a few video games now dealing with what I don't know is kind of the rush of people wanting this now, even though there's a lot of people that don't, and I'm one of those people, where a lot of movies and video games now have politics in them, where it's like, you know, oh, you do this bad thing. Well, now there's a whole piece of the game or movie just talking about how you can't do this and there's consequences, and it's like, no, I just wanted to destroy a building.
That's why I like GTA 5.
Yeah, that's true. The only politics you can do in that is shooting a cop.
I get what you're talking about. Like, every choice you make has a direct effect on your game.
Yeah, like Avengers Civil War is probably one of the biggest movies that did this, where it was like they're making politics to prevent wars, but then they're also kind of creating wars, and they're also doing destruction anyway. Like, what was the point?
To charge it, or to make cities pay as much as they could.
Yeah, it was
that.
It really brought politics into movie, which made the movie, but it also was a bit boring in the points where they directly discussed it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was like, why are these two people fighting? They're supposed to be on the same team. I don't want to talk about the Accords. I want to talk about how they're about to take down this next villain.
Right?
So that's kind of one of the things that there is a difference between video game politics and politics in video games, but both aren't always great.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, video game politics has been created into this thing where it's just like, if you were to like have Democrats and Republicans fighting over who wants to be president, now you have Microsoft and Sony and all these people fighting over who has the best consoles or games.
That's what I never understood. You know, I like I say, I respect the, you know, you and I have our friendly banter about it, but in retrospect, all consoles do the same thing. They play video games, they stream TV, Netflix, Hulu, whatever.
Yeah.
What's the point in arguing?
Because it's fun.
Because PlayStation will always be better.
Well, because Xbox
always has the better things.
See, this is why we can't have nice things.
I mean, the Xbox One X does, though, at this current moment. I'm waiting for PlayStation to one it up, because they always do.
Yeah.
Because right now, the Xbox One X is almost at the peaking point to where it's almost called next-gen, even though it wasn't that much better. It was just enough to one up the PlayStation 4. So now I'm just waiting for them to be like the PlayStation 4Z.
I mean, they got PS5 on the way.
Yeah, well, it's not out yet, and I'm at least fairly sure that the Xbox is having another generation pulled out then. But I don't know if it'll be better. I haven't heard much about either.
I mean, I've heard a good bit about the PS5, but at the same time, you don't know. You just don't know.
Yeah. You know, I haven't really heard anything about what's next in store for Xbox anyway. They might be waiting until the next gen area gets announced at E3 2020 or whatever.
Yeah.
Just because I think they've really set themselves in with the Xbox One X for now, just long enough for them to be able to be a bit experimental and do their own thing, I guess.
I mean, they're already talking about 8K graphics coming out with these things. I know we've got, like, OLED, what is it, OLED, QLED TVs.
God, I'm not going to be able to keep up with that, though. I am not, like, a... Hardware and software is hard for me to remember. I think it's too many abbreviations.
I'm good with hardware and software. Just ask my wife.
God.
Oh.
Yeah, so the Xbox is talking about next year releasing the Xbox 2, but I really hope they change the name.
X2?
Yeah, I'm not, they're just going like X-Men at this point.
Yeah,
in 2020, they're gonna have the Xbox 3, and then in 2022, they're gonna have the Xbox First Class.
And then the Xbox Endgame.
And do you know it's gonna end the console war?
Killing Thanos and taking the Infinity Stones.
Do you know it's going to end the Xbox? Do you know it's going to end the console war?
What?
The Xbox apocalypse. Do you know it's going to rise from the ashes?
No, you
got to
go through the Xbox Civil War.
The Xbox Dark Phoenix.
You ain't right, sir.
The Xbox Endgame has its flaws, though, because you have to wait 22 movies for you to be able to boot it up.
Damn. Cut it out. I don't want to die yet.
It's like purple. And the startup button is like an infinity gauntlet.
Oh, man. Now you're reaching. Now you're just reaching.
Sounds like a fun console, though. I would get it.
I mean, maybe.
And then the Xbox One X is, you know, because they added that extra X, it's Wolverine, you know, Origins. Xbox One X.
Yeah.
Because there's only one X in that movie.
I mean, it could have been Triple X.
But then you have the really off-brand side of it, since, you know, Microsoft couldn't buy the license to it, and it was kind of over here. The Xbox Deadpool.
You are really, really reaching for these.
It's produced by Nintendo, but they were able to take the name.
You know what I do foresee in the near future, though?
What?
I foresee all game consoles merging, like Xbox and PlayStation merging.
Well, I think eventually they'll have to, just because everybody's kind of almost becoming the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I love about the Xbox is they haven't changed. They haven't changed their controllers. Their controllers have been like that same diagonal joystick, which I really like. And they haven't put a screen or a touchpad on their things yet. And it's like, I think that's great, just because I think the touchpad was a bit unneeded. It didn't actually really do anything.
It's got its functionality, but at the same time, at what cost?
Yeah, like it takes up a lot of the controller, and it could easily be the same exact thing as a button. And then, like, whenever you use the touchpad to move things around, you could just use the joysticks. And if you needed to, like, you know, open a screen or an inventory or anything, you could just have a button for that.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was exactly necessary for what they thought it, how cool it would be.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. That's one of the only things I like about the Xbox controllers.
I do like the Xbox One a lot more than the 360 now that I'm looking at it. 360 was a very odd shape. It's very circular and bulky. It feels like you're holding two eggs, like really two really large eggs.
I mean, they've slimmed down a lot of their controllers, though.
They have. I do like that.
It's not all small enough for me, though. I like my PlayStation controller.
I like the Xbox One controller, but, like, I can't really play the 360 anymore, just because I didn't realize how close together and small those controllers are. Like, they look similar when you look at them, but they feel completely different. So I don't really like playing on a 360 controller anymore. Like, it feels weird.
Right.
It's kind of just like one of those things where you don't realize that something could have been better until you have whatever's better. Like, have you ever gone back on, like, the PlayStation 3 and you're playing and you realize this screen is really fuzzy and it's just hard to look at?
Yeah.
I never really realized that with the 360. Like, I loved how it looked. And then I got on the Xbox One and I was like, oh, this looks great. And then I went back to the 360 for a little bit, and everything that I looked at was just like, I cannot even see what those words form.
Oh, yeah, and then try playing a PS1 game on a PS3.
Did it work?
I mean, they've got the ports now. Mm-hmm. They started getting ports before PS4 come out. Like, Final Fantasy VII's old game, you can actually get on it.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, was it fun?
Oh, yeah, it's everything that I remember it being.
But do you remember it being how it is? Like, you remember it being so? I guess the only word for it is really old.
I mean, no matter how old it is, though, it's still nostalgia for me when I play it.
Oh yeah, it still has like the fun with it. It's just like, man, it's just like whenever you look at like N64 and stuff, there are people that are like, this used to be the graphics, this used to be cutting edge, this used to be like, oh, that looks so realistic, type of thing.
Right.
And now you have some games where it looks like you're watching a movie.
Yeah, the cutscenes are a movie.
Yeah.
You cut that yawning crap out, man. I ain't trying to listen to
what?
That. I'm already tired as it is.
I'm not tired.
I'm always tired.
I think I've ranted enough about video game politics, though.
I don't think you have.
Well, let's talk about...
how you're going to send me $1 million. I like that idea.
Oh my gosh, I have the perfect idea for the next Xbox. Do you know what it is?
What?
The next box.
Please don't do that. Don't do that. Just don't.
Do you want to know how religious people have censored their PlayStations?
How so?
They've created a console called the PrayStation.
You and your jokes.
I come up with them
fast.
Not
funny.
They're pretty funny.
It's not funny.
Do you know what Neanderthals used to play?
What?
PlayStations. Did you hear about those new video games you can play in your dreams? They're called PlayStations. And Z-boxes.
Please help us. Lord, help us.
So again, it's going to be another 20 minutes of me just saying jokes.
Oh, help us. I need a nap and some food. You got any food?
Nope. Silence.
Yeah. It's just been one of those days, man. I just can't seem to get
it
together.
One of those days.
When you don't want to wake up, everything is fucked and everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify ripping someone's head off. Oh, sorry.
I'll be showing you that tour.
Gotta have faith.
Chainsaw.
I'll skin your ass raw. Oh, how about we cut it short for the day, huh? Huh? What you think?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's just a phone call. We don't have listeners anyway.
Right. We'll make something work better next week.
Yep. We tried top-down strategy games. Turns out, not many of them. And even if there are, there aren't many good ones. Sometimes it happens, folks. We got some good jokes instead. So
it depends on your definition of good.
All right, everyone. Well, this has been the Gamer's Paradise radio show. I'm Gray. This is my co-host Draco. You can find us on Facebook. You can find him on Twitch. We have told you how to do it, so please go do it.
Like it has.
And we'll be seeing you guys soon. See you guys later. We'll be right back.